O'Hara Braided Line is the only gel-spun fiber line that comes in four colors, including our multicolor braid, which changes every 10 yards for trolling and deep dropping. O'Hara Braided Line is not only the thinnest line in the fishing industry, but also ranks as the highest in abrasion resistance, using the highest and latest technology. O'Hara Braid will cast further and last longer. It comes in many spool sizes from 150 yards to bulk size. Very importantly, with great prices. You can find O'Hara Braided Line at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or online at justforfishing.com.
Captain Jason Prieto here, and if you're in the market for a new boat, I can't think of a better choice than Canyon Bay Boats. From their 2470 with its huge front deck to the popular 2400 with its full transom and offshore capabilities, they have the perfect boat for you. Each boat is custom built to fit your fishing style, and they have an option list that will make any angler glad they chose Canyon Bay. If you'd like more information on Canyon Bay, check out their website at www.canyonbayboats.com. Or just give them a call for a sea trial at 727-639-7584.
Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, home of the premier guides and CapNell.com.
There's lots of good eating fish out there. You don't have to be snacking down on carp anymore.
Captain Jason Prieto, Neil Taylor, and Danny Guarino give you the latest fishing forecast to keep you dialed in on the fish.
First of all, it shouldn't smell like fish.
So get ready for an hour of learning, laughs, and a little bit of cutting up.
You chose, as your topic, fish.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show starts now.
Now!
This segment brought to you by Grizzly Coolers, coolers that are made to last a lifetime. For more information on Grizzly Coolers, check out their website at grizzlycoolers.com or visit a retailer near you.
And welcome to another great Sunday morning at Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 10 for the team. Travis Yackel in the house, laughing in the corner, all excited. Talking.
We are here, baby.
I think you talk in your sleep.
No, man, we just got to work on that intro, dude.
Isn't it,
I swear it's like Joe Mama's slow jams.
It is. Hey, man, you got to come in slow, but make your way up, because they could be tired. You don't want to, like, blast them like an alarm clock.
Oh, yeah, wake them
we
up.
We don't want to sound annoying like an alarm clock. Neil.
Is it the Come On Man segment?
It's not yet, Neil. Okay. We got two more segments.
Wow.
Slow your roll.
Yeah.
Neil Taylor's in the house.
Uh-huh.
Myself, Captain Jason, Captain Travis, we're all here. Danny, I don't know where the heck Danny is. He's somewhere.
Danny is probably drowning in a rum bucket.
I tell you what, he should buy stock in rum because he would be replenishing his own stock on a daily basis.
You know, I saw in the news this week that alcohol sales are down for the first time in 24 years.
And you know, Danny has lightened up on his rum drinking.
There it is. It's Danny's
no,
fault.
He was knocking it down to
the
one
company's
bottle.
Going out of business because he slowed it down.
Yeah, that's messed up, man. Danny got to step it up. But hey, guys, we're talking fishing mixed in with Danny's rum. Rum drinking, but it's been a little change of pace for me. Starting to do some tarpon fishing. Travis, I even doing some red fishing, some snook fishing, and,
yep.
And Neil, I don't know what you've been doing. I ain't talked to you this week. You did the Cap'n Mel Classic last week,
yep.
Right?
And
what's
honestly,
the results?
The results were good. We did that on
They're
last week's
good.
Show. It was a tough day of fishing.
Oh, that's right. I wasn't here last week.
Which I predicted the day before the tournament, my charter was kind of tough, and on tournament day, it was very tough.
Well, maybe
fishing
somebody
was
just going to outfish you.
I don't know. I was glad I didn't have a charter and running the tournament because it was bad.
Yeah.
Those people struggled.
Well, let's see. That was a tough tide week, wasn't it?
No, it was a great tide week.
Was it? Let's see. 2 weeks ago. Yeah, you're right. Last week was slow tides.
And the bite was good earlier in the week when the tides weren't as good, but the day before the tournament and on tournament day, it just wasn't happening.
That's one of them days where
typical
everything's right,
fishing.
But then you go, the fishing's wasn't good, and you go, why wasn't the fishing good? And it's just, it happens sometimes.
A front came through, that's possibly part of it. No one really knows.
Speaking of fronts and rain, can we just get a month where we don't have some kind of crazy torrential downpour that covers the state with 10 inches of water?
I see Vero Beach, 11 inches of rain this week.
Yeah,
in one
crazy.
Day.
Is that where they had the picture of the airplanes? Were almost like they had an airport.
It was somewhere over there.
Yeah, and the airplanes were almost underwater. It was crazy.
Yeah
the rain is just. I moved some trips and made a bad call based on looking at the weather. This
Captain,
past week.
Captain Cancel over here.
Yeah, Captain Cancel on a day. My phone's showing 70% chance of rain. It don't rain a drop the whole day.
Yeah.
And I watched three different reports, and they really didn't have a clue. And but, you know.
It's been a common conversation on the boat. You know, it's one of the things, you know, this week, that week, it's like it's hard to even look at the weather.
It is.
It's tough, bro.
The first, you know, this, and I have to tell our tides and weather segment's coming up, but I have to tell you, this is the first time I've actually watched the weather, and the guy on Channel 13 says, our computer models really don't know what's going to happen.
That's what they always say. That's just not what he says.
No, he actually said it on the air. And I was
like, I know.
What? Listen, I can appreciate the fact that you just told the truth for once. Because the other 95 times you lied to me and told me that you knew what was going on, you really didn't?
Yeah, that's probably true.
It's like at the bar. It's like 15 years ago, and this guy finds out that I'm an umpire. And he comes up to me, and he starts in on me. I go, wait a minute. I go, what do you do? And he goes, I'm a meteorologist. And I go, well, let me tell you a thing or two about you. I said, you're never right. I haven't had a scene where you guys are right in the last 5 years. And I said, you're going to criticize that 1% of the time when I'm wrong? You go sit in the corner.
You're out of here.
That was that guy, the bar.
That was that guy that killed himself. He was on...
Good job, Neil.
Shortly after
his talk with Neil, that man killed himself.
He didn't kill himself because of me. That was a... There was a love triangle thing or something, which I was also not
involved
part of.
With.
Just to clarify, Neil was no part of this.
I was not.
But, you know, the common denominator here was...
He was the third part of the triangle.
Neil, your conversations always go, well, we were at the bar.
Mine are usually rectangles instead of triangles.
Well, anyhow, the weather has been quite the... issue this year, as it was last year. We've just got this El Nino pattern, and it's just throwing a flag. I actually got out and started doing some tarpon fishing, and there is some tarpon showing up on the beaches, and everything's setting up for a good tarpon season. It's just we can't have the worst thing you can have is you get in the heart of the tarpon season, you get like a tropical system
push them off.
Yeah, if you get a strong west wind, west is the worst. The fish tend to run offshore, and they'll get on them reefs way out on the Gulf, who knows where, finding them. But so I just hope that we don't. I've got a lot of tarpon stuff booked coming up the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, ton of tarpon fishing, and I really hope that we don't have that bad weather.
Yeah,
that's going to really screw it up. But if so, I'll
well,
just
plan,
have to
plan on it. You know, and just work around it because you know it's
well,
coming.
But listen, with tarpon, you know, there's no working around it.
No, you just got to roll, baby.
You have to go to Plan B, which is inshore fishing. Neil, how's the kayak world been on fishing?
I haven't been out as much. I put a few trips in, but it's quite honestly, I finally hit a little slower part in the schedule. I did 41 out of 50 days before that.
Beast mode.
But I had a slower week, really. I only got out twice, I think.
Well, how was it?
It was good. It's kind of the tail end of spring fishing. We got on
details,
another
Neil details.
Another great bite with big trout.
Yeah.
We had one day of that. We had another day where we switched up, went somewhere else, and had a decent bite on big trout and caught big flounder. And those were really my only couple of trips I did that week.
The trout fishing has really died off for me.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to move deeper. Water is getting in that 80, 85 range. And when I am catching trout, I'm catching
big
ones.
You know, we did well, but we were going at 6 in the morning instead of 7 in the morning.
That is a huge difference.
We're going earlier, and we're still catching them when they're active. And then by about 8 in the morning, it was over.
People don't realize how big of a water, you know, in shallow water, how much difference of a change you have from 7 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon. You can see a good 5 to 7.
Especially shallow water.
Yeah, like especially when you're
fishing.
I think
it's a lot of it's the angle of the sun, too. And it's not even so much that the water heats up that much, but the sun's taking a higher path in the sky, and it gets up a certain distance, and those fish automatically shut down no matter what the water temperature
well,
is.
Well, it's, you know, and think about putting water in a pan. You turn your oven on, and that's extreme, but it doesn't take long at all for that water to heat up, and that's extreme cases. But when you're in shallow water, it there's a lot of fluctuation in your water, and I see it on my bottom machine. You know, you'll see 82, 83 in the middle of the summer by 1 o'clock. You're marking 90,
yeah.
89, 87, depending on what the flat is. Little tips when you get in that hot water, find areas with good tide flow. That good tide flow is going to push that water. It's going to keep it cooler. And that might be the difference in catching or not catching fish.
That's what I do the next 5 months. I'm in areas where the water moves more.
Yeah, you can't be in a stagnant.
You get out of the areas in the upper bay where the water just doesn't move and stay down. I call it my 200-yard rule. If I'm within 200 yards of a Gulf Pass, the water is going to be moving in those locations.
Yeah, and in the bay, you got better tide flow on the southeast, basically the south shore. From, I would say, Cockroach Bay South has got good tide flow. And you got some tide flow up north, but good example, you go up the McKay Bay and Palm River. That water up there is dirty because I don't think it ever really completely flushes.
No, it goes up and it goes down. It doesn't really move.
You don't
move.
Get that flush. We're like down, you go, good example, you look at Port Manatee, Joe's Island. That water, the sand is very clean. The water's clean because you're getting a complete flush on the tide start side.
Yeah, and I think, too, what you got to remember, too, is we've got our major river systems up that way, too. You got the Hillsborough, then you got the Palm River dumping out, and then you got the Alifi. And especially this time of year when we start getting these big rainstorms, we get a good amount of rain coming. A lot of that rain ends up dumping off into a lot of these river systems. And there's been days where I've ran up. I've got some spots that I'll actually fish some big snook up in some deeper water. And we've gone up north and looked for an incoming tide. And believe it or not, it never even moves in. It's actually going out, but it's not so much that the water's going out, but you have so much drainage from some of these major river systems that it affects the tide, especially when you don't have a strong tide or a hill tide pushing water in. And a lot of times what I'll do in that point is I'll go find that break, and you can actually find it. You'll find a rip a lot of times out in front of McKay Bay or like on the outside of Spool Islands outside the Alifi River, and a lot of times there's some fish laid up in those zones.
So, the fish will live in that dirty water. I'm not saying that there's not fish up there, but it's...
But it's a wacky tide, I agree. It's a wacky water.
It doesn't get a complete flush. That water flushes some, but it comes right back in. I just don't think... And that's why, the sand is different. It's more that mucky mud.
Oh, yeah.
The seagrass is different.
Oxygen's probably lower.
Yeah, the oxygen level's going to be different. It's just a whole different natural cycle that they have. And it's not all bad. I mean, at times that muddy bottom is going to hold heat in the winter. There are great areas to fish in the winter.
I mean, the key, I always tell people, they go, and I said, how do you know? I've had people ask me, how do I know when I have moving water? Look for clear water. Look for clear water. Look for really heavy grass on a flat. And normally good, healthy, clear water with healthy grass. It is real close to the area where you want to be fishing.
Or if you want to find a real good spot, I tell you what you do is there's this Triton. It's got a tower that looks like it's chopped off with teal green sides.
And he's running right behind that Canyon Bay.
Well, there's a couple of which one now? Which one? See, mine's not as noticeable. I've got a, mine looks normal. You've got this half tower. Yeah. Literally a half a tower.
It's half of a full. Half of a full tower.
Well, guys, we take a little break. We get back. We're going to talk more fishing with Neil, Captain Travis, and myself, Captain Jason. Don't forget, if you've missed our show, you can catch us every week on our podcast. That can be seen or listened to, not seen, on catmel.com, our official website of the radio show. It's on the forums page. Sign up for the forum. Become a member. Also, facebook.com/Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. You can also find the podcast there or simply download the Podomatic app. This is a growing way to listen to our show, and it's been very productive, and every week we're seeing better ratings on it. So check it out. Check our podcast out. We're going to take a little break. We get back. We talk some more fishing.
The Skyway Fishing Piers open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drive up to terrific action at bare minimum expense. No fishing license necessary. Enjoy some great fishing action at the mouth of Tampa Bay. Take advantage of our expert staff, rod rentals, and enjoy some awesome rod bending action from both our north and south piers. We are looking forward to seeing you at the Skyway Piers.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface course with a noise-attracting clip. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Hey, Lucy, you're the CFO of this company.
That's why you pay me.
We need a better way to manage our expenses.
Concur.
Automated expense reports.
Concur.
Faster invoice processing, timely financial data, a whole system that helps us make better decisions around how we spend our money.
Concur.
While I appreciate your enthusiasm, I'm actually looking for ideas, not agreement.
That's why we're getting Concur for expense, travel, and invoice. Everything you described scaled perfectly to our business, and it's surprisingly cost-effective.
Lucy, you're a genius.
I concur.
Expense, travel, invoice. Learn more at concur.com.
The tides and weather are brought to you by Werner Paddle. For decades, Werner paddles have been handcrafted in the USA, making great paddles for kayak anglers. If you're looking for a new paddle, look to Werner and try one today, because a great fishing paddle is a great paddling paddle. Go to WernerPaddles.com to locate a dealer near you.
And welcome back to our second segment of the show. You listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. How was that for you, Travis?
That was better.
Better?
I'm woke up now, man.
See, I know. Yeah. The first segment of the show.
You got to ease into it.
Ease into it. Well, guys, if you're just tuning in, happy Sunday morning to you. Get your butt out of bed. Get that radio cranked up, because we're going to give you the latest tips of the week. And this is Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. Neil Taylor is in the house. Myself, Captain Jason Prieto in the house. And Travis Yackel.
He's here.
The man of the hour. Guys, don't forget, before we give you the tides and weather, because Neil is checking his phone, if you'd like to do a guided kayak tour, did I say that right, Neil?
Mm-hmm.
Or a charter for tarpon, for nearshore, for inshore, or even offshore, we can get you set up with somebody. Give us a call on our Premier Guides hotline. That number is 813-373-2610. Again, 813-373-2610. That is Premier Guide. You will talk to me, and we will get you booked with either Captain Travis, myself, if you want to do a kayak guided tour, which on the kayak deal, the kayaks are included in the charter, correct?
Correct.
All you have to bring, you have to bring rods?
They have to have a fishing license. They don't have to bring anything else.
Which you can get on MyFWC, very easy to get nowadays online.
Mm-hmm. It's like $17 for a three-day.
Neil offers a niche market, and that's a kayak guided tour. So if you'd like to do something like that, give me a call. I'll put you in touch with Neil. Again, that number, 813-373-2610. Right now, I'm going to give you the tides and weather to keep you guys down on the fish this weekend. Neil, do it.
Full moon tides.
Did you get a new phone?
No.
Oh, we talked about this. You took the cover off.
Yeah, I took the cover off, so it looks like I have a new phone.
Does it feel like a new phone?
No.
Oh. Okay, go ahead.
It's time for a new phone, though. It's probably one of these weeks you're going to say, hey, you got a new phone, and it will be true.
I keep saying it. It's not.
So it's the full moon. We're right on the full moon. Today's Sunday.
Oh!
Today, tomorrow, full moon. And we actually have good tides all week. At the time of next radio show, next Sunday, we're into the quarter moon tides, but
pretty good tides
for the entire week that we have coming up here.
Quarter moon, full moon, new moon. What are you talking about, Neil?
Here's my moon.
But, I mean, people might not understand. Explain the moon tides real fast. Did you give the weather?
Oh, it's going to be hot.
And it might rain.
And it might rain.
Well, listen, guys, I know that was pretty crappy tides and weather, but, Neil, explain, and some of the guys might say I've heard this 100 times, but...
So there's 0 and 100% moon. So full moon's 100%. So it's 99% moon the next 2 days. That's virtually the full moon. 0% moon is the new moon. Both the best tides of the month are around the new moon and the full moon. Quarter moon tides are halfway between that. Quarter tides are 50% moon, either side of the full moon or the new moon.
So basically, quarter moon tides suck.
Yes.
New and full, good.
Yes.
So here's the wild card. Fish feed more at night on the full moon, and they get a little wacky.
Especially now.
On the back side of the moon?
Now through October. So the rest of the year, I don't worry about it. But now through October?
You don't have to catch bait.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what.
What's bait?
Exactly. Us bait chuckers, as Neil calls us.
Bait chucker.
You want to talk about something going wacko? Bait does some funny stuff around moon phases. I mean, it really does some wacko stuff. I think Travis would agree with me.
It's all very irrelevant to me.
Yeah. It does wacko stuff day to day anymore.
So you're saying that your artificials,
they behave the same. No matter what moon, whatever moon we're on, they always do the same thing.
Not the same results, though, right?
No, not always, but.
But this is a good full moon, man. I think we got a good one coming up.
Is there such a thing?
I got a good report from a good buddy of mine that fishes out on the beaches, and he said they're starting to see a lot of good, you know, larger breeder snook starting to show up in some of the areas. So those fish are going to start staging up, I imagine, on this moon. And I think it's the June moon that they really go into like a full spawn.
I thought it was July.
Is it July? It may be.
I'll tell you when I think their spawn is only, and I could be wrong, I'm not saying I'm right, but only based on
oh, it's the babysitter.
The babysitter? You don't have any kids.
Oh.
For you? Do you have a babysitter now, Neil?
Oh.
Oh, Neil, vibrate. Vibrate, Neil. Put the phone on vibrate.
I don't expect anyone to call when we're doing radio.
What was I saying?
We were talking about snook getting ready to spawn.
I think their spawn is actually end of July.
Yeah, and
the only reason why I say that because the males seem to feed real heavy until they have that spawn.
Right.
And then if you notice, if you go into August, September, the fish move around. I think they get in transition. They're done with their spawn, and snook fishing is just not that good.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm going with it. Is, you know, I really don't know. I mean, I'm not really big on that as far as when and where, but I do know that they've started to move.
Yeah.
Just based on where I'm fishing, where I'm seeing big snook, or where I was seeing big snook. We had a little local population hanging real close to where we were every day, and they've disappeared. And most of those fish were larger scale, you know, big females that should have been definitely mature enough to spawn. So
snook spawn is generally middle of June through August.
That's kind of the way
I don't think
always
set.
And I think
they spawn at different times, actually. They don't all spawn at the exact same time. And that 2.5 month span right there is when most of them spawn.
I think I should correct myself. I think by the end of July, August, they're done with their spawn.
Usually.
So yeah, I think it has to do a lot with, you know, things that those fish feel in terms of salinity in the water, temperature of the water. So they get around these full moon tides. And I think they actually use those tides to spawn as far as when they actually, you know, do the eggs and all that jazz. I think it has something to do with tidal flow and water temperature. Personally.
Jason, did you feed that heavily when you were spawning?
He did. Oh, you should have seen it.
Heavy.
Could have seen. He was in the live well, just mouthful of greenbacks.
I get excited.
Yeah.
But anyway, where we were going with that, guys, was kind of that, you know.
We don't know where Neil was going.
Neil tipped on it. Neil tipped on it, and we're at the end of our spring bite, as we'd say, in Tampa Bay, in terms of, you know, we get that hard spring run, we get a lot of fish chewing, we limited amount of bait, the bait's now on the flats, we're starting to see some of these bigger snook move out, which tells me that we're moving into a summer pattern. We're moving into big snook on the beaches and passes, you know, still a lot of the juvenile snook up inshore, and then obviously, you know, our red fishing continues to be pretty good and gets a little bit better day by day. We're starting to see some good schools of redfish starting to bunch up where we would see a shoreline that had, you know, 10, 15, 20 fish scattered across it. Now you're finding that same, you know, number or quantity of fish in one small area, you know, kind of balled up. And then these bigger tides will bunch these fish up and kind of keep them together on the lower tides and even on the higher tides. Sometimes they'll all kind of group up together. So we're definitely in a transition period, moving more towards the summer pattern, and I think that's normal for this time of year. You know what I mean? So things are getting right. I'll tell you something I saw pretty cool today on Charter was
can only imagine.
We were actually fishing, I mean, within probably 20 feet, 30 feet of a beach. Not a golf beach, but an inshore beach area, and we saw like a 7-foot bull shark in like a foot and a half of water.
Yeah.
And that tells me right away that we're definitely moving to a summer pattern. You won't see those sharks until that water temperature is hot enough up on those shallow water flats. And we got the large schools of mullet starting to move back in. It'll pull these sharks in. We get a lot of black tips that'll come in and you know, make a frenzy out of some of these giant mullet schools and even these juvenile bull sharks. So for me, looking at and kind of evaluating where we're at, water temps, moons coming up. We're moving around, and we're getting towards that summer pattern.
Cool. That's it.
So that's my two cents.
I will tell you that what I've noticed in the last 2 weeks is, like you said, a lot of these fish are moving on the outer flats, and they're staging up, so they're still feeding heavy. I tell you, there's a lot of pressure this year. A lot of fishermen, and I guess it's good for the industry, but
pressure goes in tires.
Yeah, pressure.
Charles Barkley. It's the only quote I have.
Have you noticed that, Neil? On the flats, have you noticed a lot more people fishing up your way?
It's pretty busy everywhere I go.
Yeah.
In general, there's more people moving here all the time. More and more people are going fishing.
More idiots.
I would say we're lucky that there aren't more people out there all the time. I mean, if everyone was out there that liked fishing, you know, a majority of them are out there all the time, it would be a zoo.
It's
more busy than I have ever seen it.
Yeah. In my 12 years of guiding, I don't remember it being, you know, the Friday is the new Saturday. And you know, it's good for the industry. I love to see people fishing. I think the aggravating part is people go out there and they mess it up for other people because they don't know what they're doing. Like, kind of educate yourself a little bit. Do a little research before you get out there.
There's some real knuckleheads.
There is. You know, well, one thing... I had a little incident at the ramp, and the guy was just, and it was a misunderstanding, not a big deal, and he made it one. But, you know, people at the ramp, man, if you just bought a boat, go to somewhere where there's not a lot of boat traffic and try to learn how to back your boat up and use the trailer ramp.
You just do it in your driveway or at your house.
I did it.
Stay away from the boat.
Well, you really.
I put cones up in a wide open parking lot. That's how I learned how to trailer.
Well, even just.
I put my own cones
up. Beyond just
practiced backing.
I mean, that's square one, but it's beyond even just backing the trailer. It also goes to loading your boat. Know how far to, you know, what type of trailer do you have? And we really need to get, I need to get Loadmaster here to talk a little bit about trailers and the differences and how to, you know, have your trailer set up right for your boat. A lot of these trailers are not set up to drive on.
Yeah.
There's more of them not set up right than they are set up right. It will be worth, it will be a great investment to spend $200 or $300, take it over to Pam at Loadmaster, say, look, my trailer don't load good. Have them put you a set of, bunks on the trailer. Practice loading it. Know your equipment from the jack plate on your boat to the motor. Know how it runs, when it runs. Understand what you're using. That, you know, a boat is a tool. A trailer is a tool. A kayak's a tool. If you don't know how to use the tool, you're just going to, first off, you're not going to be successful at fishing because you don't know what you're doing. The second problem is, you know, you're holding other people up because when you're using public ramps and public areas to launch, if you don't know what you're doing, you're messing the whole system up. It only takes one. And you can educate yourself. And trust me, we all wasn't born knowing how to do stuff, but there's certain ways to learn how to do this stuff that people don't do anymore. You know, whether it's, you know, if you got kids, take the time on a weekday, get them out there, show them how to back the trailer up if they're going to like fishing. One thing my stepdad told me, and is he used to take the time to show me, and it sounds corny, but and he's my stepdad's a very safe person. He's, you know, but I remember him telling me, in an emergency situation, this is what you need to do. This is where the fire extinguisher. This is the kill switch on the boat. This is the bilge pump. You know, this is just basic stuff, but
it has to be second nature because sometimes
you don't know.
You don't have 10 minutes to sit there and think about
it. And when I was a kid, I thought, well, this is stupid. But it's not stupid because you need to know what to do in an emergency situation. And I try to practice that with my daughters, and they kind of look at me like, this is the two-way radio. This is if I fall in the water and the prop knocks me in the head or whatever, something happens, somebody on that boat needs to know what to do in a bad situation. So, anyhow, guys, we'll take a little break. We get back. Neil, what are we doing?
Come on, man.
There you go. We get back. Neil's going to handle the come on, man. He's been itching. itching at it all show. You're listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 1040 The Team. We'll be right back.
Designed by professional guides with four characteristics that all high-end fishing rods have: durability, sensitivity, stability, and value. Built to use under all fishing conditions that every angler faces, there is no rod that covers more of your fishing needs. Ohiro series rods include gold, platinum, signature, specialty kayak, and tournament rods. A rod for every angler. Whether you're a recreational angler, guide, or tournament professional, they have a rod that will be as versatile as your fishing conditions. Find Ohiro rods at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or www.justforfishing.com.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface course with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you. And now it's time for the Come On Man, sponsored by Foy Tire Service. If you need to get some new tires on your truck, car, or even your boat, just give Foy Tire Service a call at 813-241-4017. And welcome back to the third segment already, guys.
Come on, man.
This Sunday is flying by.
Rolling, baby.
And Travis, the wider my eyes get, the uglier you get, brother. Sorry.
Hey, I'm sorry, man.
That's not very nice.
Well, it wasn't, but it was kind of like a little low blow, a little jab, you know?
Right in the old gut, baby.
But, so, Neil, without further ado.
What do we got?
Come on, man.
Oh, okay.
Now, that's a come on, man, right there. You've been talking about the whole show.
So, the come on, man, this is going to be the all-time come on, man.
I'm all ears.
So, This friend, we go back 28 years, so...
That's a long time.
Anyway, 6 weeks ago, he tells me he's got pancreatic cancer. So, pancreatic cancer is probably the worst kind you can have. I'm the only one he's told. So...
Does he have family members?
He's got a wife and three kids, so...
You probably should tell them.
For 3 weeks, I was the only one who knew, and then he told them. Well, anyway, on Tuesday, he died.
What?
He died.
That's a come-on, man?
Well, I'm not done yet.
This is not the come-on, man. I thought I was going
to
hear.
The come-on, man, is a guy who takes a crack at you and doesn't give you any chance to get back at him. So it's Tuesday night, and I pick up my mail, and there's this envelope there, and I open it up, and it's all these pictures of him and I, and it's got this note said, "Look how much better looking I am than you."
Well, hey.
He sent me all the pictures of the two of us, most of them I'd never even seen before.
You're supposed to warn me how the story's going to go.
And he took a crack at me. I can't even call and zing him back because he died earlier that day.
Well, that's kind
of... Come on, man.
That is a come on, man, but I'm really kind of paused. I don't know what to say. Sorry, man. 28 years is a long time.
Yeah, we were good friends. I mean, those were our college years, and after college, we were very, very close. And just one of those things.
Was it all of a sudden?
Yeah. Six weeks ago, I mean, he was in great shape, and then the doctor said, "You've got a problem." And then, you know, he called me to tell me about it, and I know cancer's pancreatic is one of the worst ones you can have. And
wow.
So I was prepared to be the one to tell his family. He didn't want to do it, but
that sucks.
He sucked it up, and 10 days before he died, he told his wife and his kids. So
I would tell you, Neil, and I'm sorry to hear that, but the older I get, and I've got two kids, And the older I get, the more I realize that life is short. You know, you want to provide for your family and save and do all that good stuff, but sometimes, you know, you got to take a step back. I every day that I get older, I enjoy spending time with my kids at night more than I used to. I used to work till 11 o'clock, and I still do that sometimes, but there are certain times where you just got to put that stuff aside because you never, like you said, 6 weeks ago, you never know when it's your time, and unfortunately, we don't get to choose that.
You got to live every
day. I mean, I felt good that he needed someone to talk to, and I felt good that he felt I was the right one for that. It was tough for me, though, because I was knowing he didn't have anyone else he was talking to, so, you know, I felt he had a loneliness to him. End of it, and
puts you in a bad position too, because you probably want to say something, but you can't because it's
no. I promised him, and So, no, I think it worked out all right. He made his peace with his family, and his family's well taken care of. He's a stand-up guy. He had everything in great order for them to move on. But, yeah, it's a fast loss for him. It went from nothing wrong with him to dead in 5 weeks.
Wow. That's horrible.
That's just the way life is.
It wasn't quite the common man I was expecting.
No, but, I mean, I was driving here, and I was like, I hadn't been fishing that much, and other than the people in traffic on the roads, I don't have that much to complain
well,
about.
Well, you have some pretty good stories over the years of traffic on the roads. From holding the guy down on the side of the road to,
yeah.
I mean, it's pretty good. Well, Neil, sorry to hear that, brother.
Yeah, he was a good friend, and he will be missed, but he had a good life.
Well, like I said, you know, life throws you curveballs, and sometimes you can dodge them. Other times, it is what it is. You know, it's part of the process.
Well, I got one maybe to kind of break the
bring us back around.
I'm speechless here. I don't know.
You know, we ran a group trip the other day, and you know, a lot of times we run these corporate trips, these corporate events, charity events, fundraisers, and they're guided tournaments, and you know, good fun, good cause, and you know, we wheel up and. You know, you kind of get a batch of guys that jump on your boat, and you don't really know who you got. And so, old Trav pulls up. You know, I got the old cut-off sleeves, rolling redneck Ruskin.
Ruskin redneck.
And
teal green cut-off sleeve shirt. No, just picture that. Did it look like maybe his wife
Danny
wore the gym?
Budweiser.
Dude,
this looked like a shirt maybe his wife wore to the gym or something to, like, jazzercise or something like that.
Yeah. Bro, the guns had to breathe, man. The guns had to breathe. So, anyway, so I roll up, pick up these guys, and turn around, and... There happens to be a 6'5" just beast of a guy standing there, and I'm like, man, this guy looks kind of familiar. I think I should know him, but I don't. And I kind of just kept my mouth shut, and he goes, hey, I'm Vince. And I say, hey, Vince, what's up? You know, and introduced myself to a couple other guys, and we're sitting there, and I'm still kind of staring at him going, man, this is funny, you know. And about that time, another good buddy of ours, Rick Lyles, Captain Rick Lyles, looks over, he goes, dude, you know who that is? And I was like, yeah, it's Vince. He goes, that's Vincent Jackson, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know? And I'm like, I kind of take a double take, and I go, dude, I go, are you famous? And he kind of looks at me laughing. I go, no, bro, if you're famous, I got to change my shirt, man. Come on, man. So I go in the hatch, and I change my shirt. You know, I'm like, this is Vincent Jackson, man. So it was kind of a funny, you know, kind of a funny experience. But all in all, you know, I did have Vincent Jackson on the boat, man, and it was a really, really humbling experience. Super, super nice guy. I don't know if any guys have ever ran into him at a fanfare, maybe possibly know him, but really, really nice guy. Had a great day fishing with him. We ended up almost winning the biggest redfish. We came up a quarter inch short, but we had a great day on the water. Really, really, like I said, man, just can't say enough about, you know, how cool he really was, down-to-earth guy. And still kind of keep contact with him. It was a really neat experience. He's got a foundation that he does. It's called the Jackson in Action 83. And really neat thing. If you guys are interested in that, you can go check it out. I think it's jacksonandaction83.com. But, you know, a really, really good testament to somebody who's been successful in the sports industry and, you know, professional athlete and really stayed kind of humble to his roots, man, and just a real, real stand-up guy. So if you happen to run into him or, you know, get the chance to talk to him or you know, interested in getting involved in any foundations or great charities, definitely look him up and you know, he'd be a really good outlet to do some community service or definitely give back to the community. But that's my come on, man. And, you know, I kind of felt like an old schlum, but, you know, we whacked the fish and everything was cool. So Jason gave me a hard time about the shirt, and then, you know, I got some NFL superstar getting on the
boat. We come to the conclusion, if maybe a shirt, I'm going to give you a hard time about something else. So.
But
if I don't give you a hard time, who's going to?
Oh, somebody's going to.
It might as well be me.
That's all right. I'll take it, man. Big shoulders, baby. That's
Travis,
low to the ground.
Man.
Low to the ground.
You're a good man, Travis.
But
Neil, you all right there?
Yeah, I think I swallowed a bug.
Listen, I'm not giving you CPR, just for the record. I'm putting it out there. Neil was choking here. I didn't walk out of the room.
I brushed my teeth. You couldn't give me CPR.
No. But, well, you know, I don't really have a come on man this week. It's been, you know,
I got one. Weather says 80% chance of rain.
It could be the weather.
Hey,
but
guys,
I've
this
done
is Captain Jason Prieto. We're not going to be able to fish today because it's going to rain.
It doesn't rain. He made me look bad.
He actually thought it was going to, too. So.
Well, they had a vicious forecast. It was supposed to be a stormy week, and it never happened.
Yeah. Not a drop.
I mean,
we got a morning in. It was beautiful, man. We fished a great morning this morning.
And you know what's
what? I can't tell you, Jason, how nice it was. You know, bait was easy, fish were chewing, and Jason was sitting at home.
All right, well, I didn't lose it. I moved it. I'm running a double. So I ran a double and got it in. But
Oh, you know what else I did? My black drummer back at the bridges. I did that 2 days this week, too.
The big ones?
Yeah.
What are you using to catch them?
I'm using my pompano jig for it. So my teaser with the Silly Willy jig.
What size hook are you using on them?
Yeah, it's a size 2 teaser hook, and then the Silly Willy, you know, that's like, I don't know if that's like a one-aught hook that they...
Yeah, it's a standard hook that they've got, yeah.
But yeah, you just, in higher current, you'd use a heavier one, but I use the lightest ones possible, and you get it down on the bottom. If you're not on the bottom, you don't catch any of them.
Interesting.
Yeah. Pat Rice had never caught one, so I took him out there.
That's quite the setup that you have... doing that the way, and it could be dangerous.
In the kayak, it's actually easier.
Because you can get right up next to the pylon.
You can get away from it easier.
Right.
So I taught him, you know, you hook one, you take your paddle, and you push off the cement. You push off hard enough, your boat gets in the current. That helps you to drag the fish away.
Well, that, and to me, drum, I mean, they fight, but they don't fight for as big as they are.
They're just bulldogs.
Yeah, yeah. They just kind of...
They drag you around.
You know what I hooked that was different? And I hooked two of them was cobia.
Yeah,
two big cobia on that trip, too.
They'll let you know they're hooked.
Them cobia don't...
Yeah, they take off harder.
Yeah,
and I caught them both, too.
The black drum, when they get big like that, it's almost like pulling in a swing plywood. A piece of plywood. They're a plyboard. I don't even know what that is.
Probably what they're building your house out of. That's why it's so cheap.
Hopefully the wind isn't too strong.
Yeah, hopefully we get hurricanes. But, yeah, it's like a piece of plywood moving through the water at times. But they fight. I mean, it's fun, but... For as big as they are, there's not a real good fight on them. But that's quite the technique that you use on them bridges, and we've talked about it in years past. But you really need to know what you're doing. I mean, it's not dangerous if you know what you're doing, but for like me to go out there, not doing it before, there's a little bit of a learning curve.
No, you do need to pick your day. It's not a good thing to do on a day the wind's blowing. It's just so hard to stay in there.
How about the weekend with all the boats running through?
I take a lot of those trips on the weekend.
Really?
And that'd be, you know, you'll have your spot picked out, and if it's busy, there'll be other people that are fishing their pilings.
Right.
And you just stay spread out that way. So fishing the weekends really isn't a big deal. But now that I know they're in there, I've got a certain number of people that want to take those trips, so I'm going to start putting those on the schedule.
Cool.
Gordo, how much time we got?
2 minutes. Okay. All right, here's the countdown. Well, guys, as I mentioned before, if you'd like to do a charter, whether it's from a kayak, a boat, if you want to be a bait chucker, you want to throw artificials?
If you're going to die, do something interesting, might get you on the show.
No, I don't want to do that. If you want to do a charter, all you can do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. We can get you doing an inshore trip, whether it's a kayak, whether it's in a boat. Nearshore trip, offshore, we can get you taken care of as well. Again, that number is 813-373-2610. And don't forget, guys, if you miss the show on Sundays, if you're not getting up, or you're at work or doing whatever, you can catch our show anytime on podcast. You can download the Podomatic app to your phone, or you can go to CaptainMel.com, which is the official website of the radio show. Go on the forums page. Make sure you sign up for the forum. It's a great way to keep up with what's going on in Tampa Bay, and you can also get Neil puts the podcast up on there weekly. Last but not least, check us out on Facebook.com/Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. Like our page. We put the podcast up there on a weekly basis as well. We get back. We're going to give you the captain's tip of the week. You listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 1040 The Team. We'll be right back.
Want to catch more fish? Try Ohero's 100% fluorocarbon leader. It's by far the most invisible fluorocarbon on the market today, with superior abrasion resistance to meet any rugged saltwater conditions. Ohero fluorocarbon leader is easy to tie and comes in all strengths to fit every angler's needs. Used by many tournament anglers and charter boat captains, Ohero fluorocarbon leader should be in your tackle box.
See them at www.justforfishing.com, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or any of your major tackle shops.
Okay, here we go, people.
This is The Herd.
Where are you again?
With Colin Cowherd.
Bryce Harper signed the biggest endorsement deal for a Major League Baseball player ever from Under Armour. So the guy the players resent is the most popular player in the sport. He is the only bona fide superstar baseball now has. the sport doesn't have another one. I mean, he is unbelievable, and he's made people totally uncomfortable, and he's got flaws. He's not for everybody. Some say he's too showy and too cocky, but there's a reason he just signed that deal. Under Armour now has the number one athlete in, like, five sports. Jordan Spieth, Cam Newton, Tom Brady, Bryce Harper, Steph Curry. Pretty interesting. Now, it took them about 10 years. Under Armour is like 20-some years old. Under Armour is now the cool company to be. It's not Nike anymore.
This is The Herd.
Sports Talk, 1040 The Team, weekdays from 3 to 6.
This is The Dan Patrick Show.
I just like to say that y'all rock, man.
Johnny Manziel with his smug shot looked like he'd been there before. Johnny Manziel has said, look, why is everybody, you know, reacting this way? This is who I've been. Nobody had a problem with this in college because Johnny could play his way out of it in college. Can't play his way out of it. He doesn't have a job. He's going to be suspended probably by the NFL.
Dan Patrick. Weekday mornings 9 to noon on Sports Talk 1040, The Team.
Twitter. Facebook. Tweeting.
Stay up to date with the most in-depth coverage of your favorite teams. Follow Sports Talk Florida on Twitter at Sports Talk FLA and like us on Facebook. You're listening to Sports Talk 1040, The Team, powered by NBC Sports.
Want to fish with one of the hosts of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show? All you have to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And now it's time for the Captain's Tip of the Week.
This segment brought to you by PowerPole Shallow Water Anchors. Swift, silent, and secure. For more information, go to PowerPole.com.
Welcome back to the last segment of the show. If you're just catching us, you've got about 12 minutes to listen to us. But this is one of the best segments of the show because it's the Captain's Tip of the Week.
This is the sound effect segment, too.
What was that?
Those were seagulls. You didn't know?
Oh, God. Neil, you're cut off, man. I don't know. Were you in the...
I'll see you guys next week.
Yeah. He's been in the Northern Lights in his van.
He's been in the parking lot too long.
That was a shameless plug from Northern Light. They did not pay for that. But, Travis.
Tip of the week, huh? I tell you, I kind of think back a little bit, and I, you know, try to get something halfway decent, and, you know, the common talk is kind
but
of
sometimes water. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. But the common talk, and you know, this time of year, you know, we all kind of jibber jabber, and the common talk is water's getting hot, things are getting hot, weather's getting hot. We get a lot of, you know, this what we call snot grass showing up, and that's a result of some of these heavy tides. And then you get this growth; it's almost like a slime that starts to grow. And where I'm going with all this is you kind of change up your fishing techniques. And
oh yeah, the snotgrass been horrible.
It's been bad, man. There's been some places that, you know, there's some really great fish, and you just can't get to them. You can't fish it well enough with the amount of grass in the area. So one of the things that I like to do, and one of the reasons why you get hung up, you know, I like to free line a lot. So I like to, you know, throw out a bait without a cork or out of a float and let it, you know, do its thing and kind of swim around. And a lot of times that's where you pick up this grass, especially if you've got grass on the surface. It'll also pick up some of the smaller pockets of grass or bellies of grass that are laying in sand holes. So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll cut bait. And what that does is it somewhat eliminates the amount of line that gets pulled through an area. And you can actually fish a certain pocket where you have some, you know, a clean sand hole or a clean, you know, area where the grass isn't as thick and broken, where it's floating and can get in your line. So I'll move to that cut bait tactic in some of those areas, but in addition to the water temperature. And what you'll find is as the water temperature starts to increase and we move in into summer, this water temperature is going to get up, you know, into that 90-degree range, and these fish are going to become somewhat lethargic in terms of wanting to chase down baits, particularly, you know, from, say, 10:30, 11 up until, you know, 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The water's just too hot. And so if you go to a slower technique and a slower pattern of trying to fish, and cut bait is one of the best ways. You get, you know, you get the scent. You also eliminate, you know, running through some of these grassy areas and picking up a lot of trash on your line. You'll also eliminate some of the other, you know, you won't have the birds. And, you know, we've had a lot of birds diving especially, you know, got a lot more people chumming in some of these areas, some of these flats, and the birds kind of take too, and it's been kind of a pain. I mean, I think I've got a world record this year for catching birds. I mean, we've caught a lot of birds.
The birds have been bad.
And you know, there's times where I'll take a large greenback and I'll actually cut his tail off for the purpose of the bait to get down, and they'll just kind of spin around in a circle on the bottom, hoping to stay away from the birds. So
we call this the Travis method.
He's got a lot of methods.
A little different than everybody else, but...
But it works. It works. You got to kind of think outside the box sometimes is where I'm going, and cut bait this time of year is something that I'll normally kind of fall back on for the reasons that I mentioned. You know, not only we're starting to get some sharks moving in, I like catching sharks. It's something that I enjoy doing, especially, you know, if you're a person who doesn't so much care to do some of the inshore technical fishing, or maybe just, you know, wants to pull on or catch a really big fish. I really enjoy shark fishing. And so some of these slower periods in the tide, hotter days, I'll actually slide out and do some shark fishing. I've got some good areas for some black tip sharks, which are, you know, offer a pretty good table fare if you're interested or like eating sharks. And then we also, you know, do the tarpon fishing, you know, kind of in the same token, same areas. So that would be kind of my tip of the week, is that if you're struggling, either A, catch and bait. That's another one, Jay, is you know, you can't always get the bait you want. Sometimes you get really big white baits, you know, giant baits, and believe it or not, sometimes...
I think you should write a song about that.
That cut bait,
you can't,
you know,
always get the bait that you want.
You can't always get
Neil.
The bait that you want.
That'd be a good song.
I think we'll put you on that, Neil.
We may be ripping someone off, but that'd be a good song.
But yeah, so, you know, to kind of close my deal out, that's what I would say, is that'd be my tip of the week moving into this summer pattern is... If you get in areas that you're having trouble fishing live bait, or you can't get live bait, a cut mullet, a crab, a ladyfish, even, believe it or not, if you can get a hold of some jumbo-sized shrimp, clip the tail off of them or pull their head off and put them on a jig head and soak them under the bushes, it's actually pretty productive this time of year if you can manage to get a hold of some bait. So that'd be my tip of the week. Definitely drink a lot of water, guys. We're starting to get hot. I definitely pack extra waters in my coolers for my trips this time of year.
Oh yeah, it's
you know, you get some beautiful days where it's, you know, bluebird skies, and you don't really realize how much you're actually getting dehydrated out there. I normally drink one about every 20 minutes. I try to make myself go in the cooler. Might not drink at all.
My tip of the week, if you do it my way, now that it's this time of year, I get my clothing wet. Before
okay.
The sun's even up, I walk out in the water.
So you're the guy I see out there naked at 7 in the morning out there.
I'm not naked because I want my clothing to be wet. And I continue.
You got your clothes in your hands.
I'm wearing my clothes. But no, if you stay wet, you stay cool.
Yeah.
The same as in January, you stay dry, you stay warm. But,
right.
I'll get wet to start the day, and I'll take my coffee cup and I'll dump water over my head a couple times a day.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
My clothing stays wet. Especially if there's a little breeze, and that'll help keep you cooled off. But
it's coming. I mean, that's kind of where I'm going is, man. And especially if you're not accustomed to it, we're pretty good. I mean, I'm pretty accustomed to being out there, knowing about how hot I am, knowing when I'm getting to that point where, hey, I need to, you know, get some water, get some fluids in me. And, you know, especially when I do run these half-day trips, sometimes guys aren't in that mindset. You're so focused on catching fish and hunting fish and, you know, in the moment that you forget to, you know, to drink some water. And so
I'm going to add to that.
You get a bad headache too, man. That's a lot of times what happens is you're fine on the water. You get off the water, you go, man, my head's, you know, aching. And a lot of that's just from being dehydrated, guys. So
the other thing is, and we talked on it was kind of a serious note there with cancer, guys, take care of your skin. There's a lot of charter captains. Danny, for one, Danny doesn't wear sunscreen. I don't get it. I'm like,
yeah.
Dude,
I've invested in a lot of buffs, especially, you know, over the last probably 5 or 6. I probably have 30 of them, and it's not something
like
that I constantly pull up and down. But I tell you what, it makes a difference, especially on the back of your neck, even if you're not pulling them all the way up. But I have a tendency to, you know, pull them up quite a bit.
Well,
it does help.
I will tell you this: don't cheap it on sunscreen.
No.
Buy some decent sunscreen.
Yeah, we'll
you've got a brand in here.
Sawyer products.
Sawyer, and it's pretty good stuff because you gave me some test
test. We'll get him in here sometime because that's a great company. Their bug sprays
are local too, right?
Are premium. Yeah, they're in Safety Harbor.
Yeah.
Their stuff, it all supplies to the military. They're the number one supplier of bug spray and sunscreen and water filtration is the third thing they're into.
Yeah, make sure you buy some good sunscreen.
We'll get Patrick in here sometime.
I can tell you, when I went to the dermatologist, they said that Neutrogena is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
It's got actually lotion where it lubricates your skin and all that. So buy good sunscreen. Take care of your skin out there. And it's coming from me that does this every day and all of us. And, you know, you need to really wear sunscreen. Apply it when you're... I've got a little ritual. I do it when I'm on my way out.
That's right, yeah.
I'll tell you where I do get a little...
And that's the best way to do it. You get a coat on you before you start sweating.
A lot of times I'll put it on when I'm brushing my teeth. I've got a bottle sitting right on the sink.
Do you ever get the sunscreen mixed up with toothpaste?
No.
No. Throw early?
No.
That would be
not
a
like
bad
you.
Taste.
Not like you.
I don't put it on the bathroom. I got it on my boat.
Better than having
you two guys, man.
It's better than having super glue next to your bed.
No, but my wife always buys those little pumpy soaps, and for some reason, man, I'll catch myself, and it's just I want to go pump hand soap on my toothbrush, and I don't know why. When I was a kid, we used to have the little pumpy ones.
Dude,
you know?
Your parents washed your mouth out with soap.
Man,
you're bad, huh?
Man, I used to always, and it's happened to me like two or three times, man, where I just about get it on there, and I'm like, no.
Do me a favor. Call me right after you do that.
I will.
That's
I will. I'm going to cut you out.
I won't make fun of you. I won't make fun of you, I swear.
Yeah.
But, guys, on a serious note, take care of your skin out there, man. I, for one, pretty stubborn with that when I was younger, and fortunately I haven't had to pay for it yet, but I've got to make my dermatologist trip. I would recommend if you fish a lot, if you're out in the sunlight, go once a year, get your skin checked out. It's important.
Yeah, and I'm long sleeves, long pants a lot of the time in the summer.
I can tell you the dermatologist told me the two top areas that people get skin cancer is your ears and your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to never put stuff on my feet. Mm-hmm. So like 2 years ago, because I don't burn.
Yeah.
I just don't burn. And actually this year I've started wearing boat shoes. I put my sandals on, throw in the net, and it's reduced some of my back hurting issues.
I gotta get you in a pair of these extra tough boots, man. They're great. I have to get
extra
you set up
tough
for those.
Boots.
Yeah. Yeah, they're
not made by Gruden's, are they?
No. They're a company there. I think they're out of like Alaska, man, but it's the ones that all the Bering Sea guys wear, but they're pretty gnarly, man.
I've got a set of rugged sharks, but I need something that breathes.
Yeah, I got something, man. Well, we'll get you set up, man.
What's the one I saw that fishing?
But, well, guys, let's wrap the show up. What are we going to do leading into next week?
I got a few trips. I'm going to have a pretty decent week.
What are you going to do, Neil? Give us some... You got to lead us with something going on.
I don't have the drum trips on for this week. I'll probably put more of those the next week. The Pompano are not in yet, but I'll be doing the shallows thing while there's still some trout to be caught.
We're going to be looking for a trout report from you.
Yeah. We're going to try redfish one day, too.
Well, I'm loaded up with tarpon trips, so I will be on the beach fighting the crowds and fighting the Silver Kings. It's going to be fun. We're going to talk a little about Silver Kings next week.
Yeah, I think it'd be good. We should be right in the heat of it. I'll be on the South Shore still. I'm going to kind of hold that ground down, running snook, redfish, trout trips. You know, well, not so many trout. We're getting them, though. We're getting a handful here and there. I tell you what we did get, Neil, and you like this. I showed you the picture, Jason. It's probably about a 22, 23-inch flounder today mixed in with about 30 snook.
Big
flounder, man.
That's a big one.
A surprise, yeah. So I'll be staying inshore, running the South Shore, and catching fish down through there, and then probably I got a few tarpon trips kind of peppered in over the next month, so I'll be doing some stuff. And my tarpon, you know, kind of picks up towards beginning of July through the end of July. That's when I like to fish them. So
yeah, you're gonna make me fish them through July, I guess this year. I've been lazy. I need to stay motivated at it. But yeah, it's gonna be a good week of fishing. You know, we'll get some of this inconsistent weather out of here and start getting back to our consistent patterns. It's going to be good, guys. Again, don't forget, give us a call on our Premier Guys hotline if you'd like to do a charter with one of us on here. We're all just as funny on the water as we are on the air. So you can give us a call on that number.
Some of us are funnier looking.
Yeah, that's okay. We're all on radio for a reason, okay? You can give us a call on our Premier Guides hotline. That's 813-373-2610. Again, 813-373-2610.